have it, Matthew chapter 13. We'll begin our reading at verse 24. Matthew 13 and 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seeds in his field. But while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade had sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou sow good seeds? Didst not thou sow good seeds in thy field? And from whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Then he explains it in verse 36 through 43. This is the Lord's own explanation. Then Jesus sent the multitudes away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man, that's Jesus. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in fire, so shall it be in the end of the world, of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. You say, what's that got to do with prophecy, right? You thought it was all going to be beast and antichrist. Well, it's not. Prophecy is a many-pronged instrument, and it has to do with informing us, enlightening us, letting us know what is ahead of us. And being in the generation that we are, there's not much ahead of us. Most of it is behind us. So we're looking at what lies just a short distance away from where we're at. And you can see readily the signs that will be mentioned here as I discuss with you this term of prophecy. Now, what does that have to do with us? What does that parable have to do with me and you? Well, it has a lot to do with us simply because we're either the children of God or we're the child of a devil. Right? Wouldn't you like to know which one you are? That is a very good question. Now, for us to understand that and determine that, we must understand what Jesus was doing. He built the church. How many know that Jesus built the church? And he has continually built it through the ages. Without Jesus Christ, there would be no church. There would be no Gentiles in the church. That's you. Okay, it started off as a Jewish church, and then the Holy Ghost set out to take it to the whole world. So when we understand that the church is involved in the last day prophecy, the church is very important. There's two things that you should always look for. Israel, because anything that has to do with that plot of ground called Israel will have to do with God and the church. Anything that has to do with the church affects Jesus Christ, because we are his body on earth. We are his bride. So two things in this last day that are running parallel now in our time, that didn't start again till 1948. So that was when you were probably alive, except for my precious young people. Okay? 1948, that's not very far back in history, that all of a sudden Israel began to parallel the church towards the end. Two things now, two entities in the world that has God's attention and will keep God's attention is the church and Israel. Everybody understand that? Now, if you understand that, then you are ahead of most of the world. Everybody will tell you that all roads lead to heaven. They don't. All religions don't lead to heaven. Everybody is not going to go to heaven. I can prove to you from this little parable that Jesus said that there is in this world two types of people. There are the children of the kingdom and the children of the devil. So when we are looking at this parable, we are seeing from the start where Jesus began to sow seed in the field or in the world. Not long will you have to take up the mantle and be a church historian to understand that. Now, the best way for you to study your church history quickly is to turn to Revelation 2 and 3. In there you will find seven churches which were actual churches in Asia Minor. Can I get an amen? Amen. Paul preached at most of them. They received epistles from him and others. And therefore they are the qualifying church for that first century, where it was, as we would say, God through the Holy Ghost picked them out to tell the story of the rest of the church ages. Their names are very important, and so are the things that happened in that particular church. Three ways that you can read it. One, historically, you will be accurate. And then you will also be able to read it as a personal church that was historically there, and that they had people in it just like you. The third is that God will take it and make it a flag to each age that will proceed. And there will be proceeding church ages. How many know that we are not at the beginning of that succession of church ages? We are at the end. How many can say amen to that? We are at the end. Now that's very important to remember, because we're running out of time. Is time important to you? Then you better begin to redeem it. For the Bible said, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. So you got to buy them up. Now I'm going to go through these with you two ways. First, I'm going to start the first apostolic church. Lasted from the day of Pentecost, the descending of the Holy Ghost, to about A.D. 100. You can call that the Apostolic Church. The reason they called it apostolic was because it was the beginning of the church age. You will find that running with the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 1, and you will encounter the word Ephesus. The name Ephesus means full purpose or desired. God had a purpose for the church. God desired the church. He formed the true church. He set the roots of the true church. But then Ephesus, a few years into church history, began to lose its first love and the persecution began to be severe. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The second church is called the Martyr Church. It runs from basically A.D. 100 to A.D. 316. Very tremendous period of persecution. Its name was Smyrna, which speaks of bitterness or suffering. It was then that the Roman emperors began to put a lot of persecution on the church. It was the martyr age. How many understand that the church went through a time of martyrdom? Without that time, there would have been no Fox Book of Martyrs. This is where most of it was fulfilled. Then when you get to the next church, it's called the State Church, 316 to AD 500. That is Pergamos. Pergamos was a time when we can say that Constantine brought about a very deception that the church swallowed hook, line, and sinker. How many understand Constantine's deception? Anyone? Constantine deceived the church simply because him being emperor, he decided just to become a Christian. No conversion, no born again, no baptism, no initiation, nothing about it. He just decided one day this Roman ruler wanted to be a Christian, so not only did he become a Christian, but he made everybody in his kingdom, his empire, to embrace Christianity. That's when the doctrine of Balaam and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which was a deed in the first church, has become a doctrine in this church. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans is no more than just the separation of people in the church. They begin to have a hierarchy. How many know Constantine became the head of the church? So all of a sudden, the church has one head. The emperor of Rome. And the empire, he offered to build them churches. He offered to build them whatever they wanted. He gave them money. So all of the pagan worshipers just simply become Christians. And the church said, this is wonderful. They accepted them just like they was. And all of that paganism came into the church at Rome. How many know the beginning of the church at Rome? I want to tell you something else about Second World War. Can I just drop this in? You know what happened in the Second World War? Mussolini, you remember him? Italy, Emperor of Italy. He made Rome, the Church of Rome, an independent state. Did you know that? That the Vatican is an independent state. It has ambassadors.
Yes, sir.
It's its own little world.
Yes, sir.
It's a church. But it is political and powerful. And it is rich. So we see that Constantine started. Balaam's doctrine was to cast a stumbling block. He taught Israel how, or thought he was teaching Israel how, to get around God. Cast a stumbling block. He was very deceptive. And you can read that he died with the enemies of Israel because God slew him. But his doctrine showed up in the New Testament church. And so did the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Then you get to the Roman Catholic Church, the rise of papacy, and that is from 500 until right now. The Rome Church is not dead. It's still powerful. It controls a lot of South America. It controls a lot of America.
Right.
It controls a lot of Europe.
Right.
Africa? Are you helping me? I don't want to bore you. But the papacy started right after the rise of Constantine. And that's no fluke. That was what was the showing of this weed and tares. Now the Reformation, the 1500, the rise of Martin Luther and all those comes at Sardis. The church at Sardis was just a few. They were just coming out. That's why they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. There was just a few of them breaking out of that darkness, out of that papacy, coming back to truth, and there was just a few of them. But then the fruits begin to show up. The next is the missionary church, or the Church of Philadelphia, the Church of Brotherly Love. You see, the church at Sardis means those who escape. The Thyatira means continual sacrifice, which was the heir of that church. But then there become the Sardis, the Reformation, they begin to escape. Then they got the Philadelphia church, and the last one is the apostate church of Laodicea. Now for the last days, there's two churches that are continuing together. And they are very needful for you to understand that. Again, at the last days, God will send his angels or messengers, and they will bind first the tares, getting them together, holding them together for the purpose of destroying them. Amen? Amen. And at the same time, he will gather the wheat into his barn. There's an act of separation. The tares in our day will be bound together. Now, I hope I don't upset you, but listen to me as I try to explain to you our day. You want to hear it?
Yes, sir.
All of a sudden, after World War II, there became a great religious awakening called the Latter Rain. How many remember the Latter Rainers? They used to preach against them in Pentecost. The Latter Rainers. They were just the forerunners of the charismatics. They were not separated. They didn't believe in holiness. They didn't hold standards. But yet they claimed all the gifts. They called them Latter Rainers. Too old for you, right? That's why I got gray hair. Believe me when I tell you. They called them Latter Rainers. Because in the last days, the Lord said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Am I right? Now, in our day, we do not contest Latter Rainers. We come up against the charismatics. We have people that are preaching the charismatic message. What is it doing? Getting the tares out of the church and binding them together. They're leaving holiness. They're not coming to holiness. They're leaving holiness. Am I right? Come on now, open your eyes. Look around. Are they not leaving holiness? How many can remember 30 years ago when the Exodus started? They began to leave us. They began to build churches that were liberal. Am I right? And holiness churches that used to be stout holiness have now become liberal and controlled by charismatic influence. They claim to be holiness, but you and I both know they're not. It happened in the Wesleyan movement. It happened in the Methodist movement. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Happened in the Nazarene movement. Pilgrim Holiness Movement. It happened in the Church of God, which was the dominant force of the Pentecost, which believed in being saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, the gifts of the Spirit, the soon coming of the Lord. That was which are five tenets. In their first endeavor at holiness, that you couldn't be a member in the Church of God at Cleveland and wear a wedding band. Absolutely no one was accepted in the Church of God that wore any kind of jewelry. They have already passed in their national meetings that it's not necessary anymore. A lot of the things that they held are no longer necessary. How many know I'm telling you the truth? Brother Scott's mama was a Church of God woman back when they had Church of God women. And they had some powerful women and some powerful men. But they drifted away, and so has the assemblies. Oh, you're not helping me. And so has all the other Pentecostals that have had any organizational ties from all of it, the Church of God of Cleveland, the Church of God of this, and the Church of God of that. We're in the end time, and there's a gathering together. Now, you can take a person like Joel Osteen. Did I say that out loud? I did, didn't I? You can take a person like that, and he can fill a stadium and never say a word. Never preach any gospel whatsoever. And fill a whole stadium because it's the time of the gathering. T.D. Jakes can do whatever T.D. Jakes does, and he can pull them in. But there is a time that you've got to realize that Jesus said it right here in this gospel that he told us. He said, "Then appeared the tares also." It didn't happen when the seeds were sown because the seeds were almost identical. You couldn't just tell them apart. And when the blades sprang up, they looked just alike. And when the stalk came up, it looked just alike. But when the seed of the wheat came out, it came out golden or almost white. And the tares was dark. And there was no trouble distinguishing them when they made the full cycle. Understand what I'm saying? I don't know if you do or not. You're not helping me much. Amen. You couldn't do it at the first. In the 1920s, impossible. 1930s, hard. 40s, it began to show. 50s, really you could tell them apart. 60s, when I first got saved, it was no problem. They had signs, they had wonders, they had revivals. But then the issue wasn't so much morals and standards as it was the gifts. They would prophesy and prophesy of things that you never heard of. They could prophesy at the drop of a hat and drop it themselves, but then it was, come, I see, you see, they see, and we all see. And you didn't see nothing. I mean, the Holy Ghost was speaking almost every time they got together, but it wasn't saying nothing. The Holy Ghost that I have and that you have is intelligent. It doesn't speak mumbo jumbo to confuse you. He is a teacher, and therefore he speaks fluently. And he speaks very dedicatedly about what he is saying. So how do you tell when something false is going on? Listen to him. Does he sound like he doesn't have any sense? That's not the Holy Ghost. I hope I didn't offend you. I hope I didn't offend you. But you're wanting to know about the end time, right? So here we go with this last day Laodicean church, who say they are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and the Lord is standing outside the door knocking. And they don't even know who he is or why he has come to that church. The book of Philadelphia, that church of Philadelphia, will tell you that the Lord is speaking to that church. And the Lord is giving that church a promise. Said, I will keep you from the hour of tribulation that shall come upon all of the world. Here you hear a spirit speaking about keeping people. And over here you hear the spirit speaking, I'd like to come in. If you'll open the door, I will come into you. Singular. It becomes personal, not corporate. He's taking care of individuals in that apostate church. But over here in Philadelphia, he's saying to the church, stay with me. Because you kept my word in my name, I'll keep you. He's talking about the whole church, not an individual. Amen. And the worst thing that you can understand and I can understand about this last day is deception. There's never been an age like the age that we're in where people are so deceived. Do you know now that people are coming to church in shorts? Do you know that? Breeches, shorts, culottes, whatever you want to call them. Women are coming dressed like men, and men will soon be coming dressed like women. The more liberal our government becomes, the more liberal the church will become that has to put up with that banding together. Amen. Now remember again, now I brought you up this far. The good seed is the children of the kingdom. That's you. That's me that's been born again. How many can say amen? Amen. That's me. That's me. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I honor his word. I will do what the Bible says. I will not question the dictates of the Bible. If the Bible says thou shalt not, I am not going to skirt around it so I can do it. I'm going to say I don't do that because the Bible says it. Am I right? Then the tares are the children of the wicked one. All things that offend and them which do iniquity are going to be removed. All things that offend, or as my marginal reference reads, it says scandals. All things that cause scandals are going to be removed. Do you know why we have so many church splits? Do you? Because we got the devil's kids going to church with God's kids, and you can't hardly get along. You say, have there ever been any right here in Dryden Road for a few days? Usually it just takes one of BD's spells and they don't want to come back no more. They get offended because the Bible will not agree with their nature. You understand that? All of the children of the kingdom has God's nature. All of the devil's children have his nature. Not all the devil's kids drink, smoke, and carouse and run around. Some of them just love pleasure more than they love God. Not all of the devil's kids hate church. Some of them love church. They love to control it. They love to control the pulpit. They love to preach what they want to preach. They love to tickle your ear. They love to tell you how good you are and that everybody's got a talent and God is going to use you in some capacity. And all you've got to do is prophesy, is just see something and say you've seen it. You're not helping me, are you? You see, Jesus said, therefore watch, keep awake, be on your guard. Paul was worried, very concerned that he took pen and the Holy Ghost anointed him. And this is what Paul says about his day. Listen, it's right here in Acts chapter 20, verse 29. Did you ever read that? Verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous, what? That's first century. Wolves, grievous wolves were coming in on the flock of God in the first century. Grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. You hear that? That's a first century preacher looking at what's going to happen when he can preach no more. He said, look out, wolves are coming. And there are going to be people rise up right among you and say perverse things and draw away disciples after themselves. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
2 Thessalonians, Paul writes before his departure, he said, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Then he says to those in the end, he jumps from the first century over to the end time church, and this is what he said, God shall send them strong delusion. You know what a delusion is? A false belief or opinion. Chapter 24 of the Gospel of Matthew just simply says, for many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. Dropping back to Paul, he said, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You see, the conflict is still between right and wrong. At the end, God is going to step up and take control of the right. He's going to bless his children so they won't be deceived. But those that are going to be band together, those tares are going to be band together, and they're going to be done so by a strong delusion. God is going to send them a strong delusion that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Taking pleasure in unrighteousness while loving not the truth. That's what it said. Will be the deciding factor in God's judgment in the last day. Do you know where that puts a majority of the churches in America? Are you listening to me? Do you know where that puts a majority of the churches in America? And a lot of churches in holiness who love not the truth but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Hold on, hold on, hold on. Don't get mad at me, okay? What do you do with that iPad? What do you do with that computer? What do you do with that smartphone? Are you trying to convince yourself that you're not drifting, being pulled, being separated? You know, if I felt a current pulling me away from this old-fashioned way, I'd throw away whatever it was that was drawing me, and I'd get back to the rock as fast as I could. You can about do anything now on that phone of yours. And do you not understand what it means what it means, actually means when it said they loved unrighteousness. You know what unrighteousness is? It's not being right. And yet America's churches are full of people who are not right. They're not right in their mind about the doctrine. In fact, a lot of them don't even know what doctrine they believe. Pentecost is separated over oneness, two-ness, and Trinity. They're separated over whether worldliness is really a dress code, or is worldliness just a word. They're not for sure that they need righteousness because it's imputed to them. Imputed righteousness means you don't have to live right. You're right because God gave you righteousness, and you can do anything and you can't be wrong. That's the overbleeding of Calvinism coming into Pentecost. And that's happening in the last days. So now we see the strong delusion. Then you hear Paul again speaking. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. How does doctrines of devils get preached without a devil in the pulpit? There's got to be a devil in the pulpit to preach the doctrine of devils. And yet there's devils in the pulpit that'll tell you, no matter what you do, you can't be lost, ever. God will kill you and take you home, but you'll never be lost. God will take some of your toys away when you get to heaven, but you won't be lost. The word lost is not in the vocabulary of the church. But Jesus said in this parable of the tares are going to a furnace. They're going to fire. They're going to be burnt. Well, we should help me. Matthew chapter 24. Listen to verse number 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. Ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive how many? Many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. Then he drops back to Israel. When he's done with the church and getting the gospel to all nations, he drops back in the next verse 15 into Israel. And he gets right back to Jerusalem because there's two important things to God. When he's through with the church, he's going to go back to Israel. And then he says, the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, saying the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand, and let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. When God gets done with the church, he'll go back to Israel. But he's going to bind up the tares and send them into tribulation. And the children of the kingdom shall escape and be taken to the barn. We're not talking about seed. We're talking about people. Flesh and blood people. Some of them are children of the devil, and some of them are children of God. The children of the devil are all going to be designated to be burned. The children of God are designated to escape. No wonder the Apostle Paul said, therefore make your calling and election sure. You can play around with politics. You can switch back and forth from Democrat to a Republican. But my friend, you can't switch this. This nature of the tares, they're never going to get rid of it. I want you to understand that, my friend. There's going to be people we preach to that we're never going to be able to change. There's going to be holiness fighters that's going to fight us all the way to the sounding of the trumpet. There's going to be people who will drag their feet. They will protest. They will tell you it's not necessary. They will fight you. They will not like you. They will walk out on you if you preach the gospel. But my friend, that only shows their nature. A child of God loves the Word of God. We are begotten by the Word of God. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost helping me now. Since you won't help me, He'll help me. It's the nature of the devil to hate the Word of God. It's the nature of the children of God to love the Word of God. So this last day, all of a sudden, we have a problem with preaching. They shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They will select who they want to preach to them. They will fill stadium after stadium. They will do anything. They will buy televisions. Whatever it takes to hear that message. Did you know that there's one prophecy preacher in America that's been married 6 times, and he is the leading charismatic prophecy preacher? Married 6 times. Do they care? Absolutely not. He is fantastic. You know what that says about the Bible that he is teaching? He don't love it. He proved he didn't love it. Oh, you're not helping me. You see, my precious people, I don't mean to sound like I am a fighter. I am not. I am here to inform you and to tell you, if you get those pretty blue eyes of yours or brown eyes or whatever eyes you got open, you're going to start saying to God, oh, help me. I don't want to be deceived. Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say? And they said, but Lord, we have prophesied in your name. Sound familiar? Prophesying? Lord, we have done many mighty works in your name. Sound familiar? And we have cast out devils in your name. If the devil cast out a devil, it was a fix. It was a setup. He was doing it to deceive somebody. If the devil does a miracle, we ought to have all known was in the last days when Benny Hinn could blow on a congregation and blow them down. We ought to have known something was up. But you know what we said? Whoa. It wasn't too long after that I was in a meeting with a Pentecostal preacher, and you know what he done? I can demonstrate. I can't do it. Let me show you what he done. He was standing there preaching. All of a sudden, he went like this. You know what happened? 4 rows fell back. 4 rows in a holiness church fell back. If he would have been preaching in the day when I started, you know what would happen? Those old preachers would have knocked him down with a songbook. They would have set you down. But now it's accepted in holiness. We are waiting for the exciting. We're waiting for the emotional. We're waiting for something to stir us, to move us, to do something out of the way. We can't be satisfied with just being God's children. But Jesus said, if you want something to rejoice about, rejoice. Why? Not because devils are subject to you, but because your name, because you belong to God, because you're God's child. Rejoice because it's all settled. Rejoice because you are who you are by the grace of God. Rejoice because you love the truth. Rejoice because you know you got your head on straight. Rejoice because you know you're walking right. Rejoice because you know you got a heart that's clean and a mind that's pure, and you're on your way to God's good heaven. Instead of running all across here and there looking for something, we already possess it. I have eternal life in me right now. And if I die tonight, I will live forever. I'm not going to go to hell. I'm going to go to heaven. And I guess I took up enough of your time. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as it was in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. One last thing, and we'll let you go. Two things Jesus said that you could tell where you lived at in prophecy. Noah's day and Lot's day. Am I right? Now I want you to look at it with me. Why didn't those people get in that ark? After 120 years of preaching, somebody ought to have made their way into that ark. But the Bible tells you right there, they knew not until the day that the flood came and took them all away. God send them a strong delusion that they believed a lie and were damned. Look at Lot's day and look at it hurriedly with me. Why didn't someone get out of Sodom? Why didn't somebody get out of Gomorrah? Why didn't somebody get out of those other three cities of the plains? Why didn't somebody escape out of five cities? What kept that entire population of five cities in that city till God brought down fire and brimstone on them? They were blinded. Read it. Read it yourself. It said they groped, searching for a door, and couldn't find one. God blinded them, every one, till the fire fell. Then he said, as it was then, so shall it be today. What's the last thing that God's going to do? Start sending a strong delusion that people will believe a lie and be damned. Amen. Towards the end of this age, a religious deception will be rampant. We see it. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Jesus emphasizes it by the one short verse. Behold, I have told you before. Right. Woo! Amen. All of a sudden, just at the end of that, at the end of it, he says, behold, or look, right. I have showed you before. Right. There's no other way that we can look at this book. Is infallible. Right. It is God's holy writ. Heaven may fall and earth may move, but this word will be fulfilled. The prophetic from this wheat and tares is, my friend, we're right there at the separating time. Right now, if you want to open your eyes and look, you can understand the reason why a charismatic church can start and overnight run 600, 700, 1,000 people. And a holiness church that's been 60 years in the same place will have a hard time keeping a congregation, because the banding, and I close with this, Jesus said the reapers shall go in, because the reapers are special, the reapers have knowledge, and the reapers can tell the difference between a tare and a wheat. And the reapers go in with a message of separation to get the tares out of the wheat. So as I preached to you in 2014, I preached to you a holiness message that will separate mom and dad, brother and sister, son and daughter. I preached to you a message that's rooting up the tares, gathering them up. Can you see as they wade into a field? There's one. Before they were told, don't you gather it, don't you pull them things up. Let them both grow together until the harvest. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Let them both grow together until the harvest. But when the harvest comes, you go right in there, reaper, and you jerk that tear right up and have no mercy, and bind them together and set them apart, for they're going to be burned. And then, after you got the tares out, gather my wheat, and take it into the barn. Do you understand that? First, the tares are removed, then the wheat are taken out. And before we leave here, my friend, we will have one more revival. It'll be a revival of separation. It'll be a revival when we have to stand our ground. It'll be a revival where people will come looking for holiness. If they got it in their heart, they will come looking for it. If it's in them at all, they'll want to be with the wheat. And the tares will want to be with the tares. End time prophecy is not only about the beast and the Antichrist. It's about the church and where we are living right now. That's why, my friend, they come and they go. I don't know how many people have come and gone since I've been here. Did you run them off? No, I done my level best to convert them and to keep them. But you can't keep somebody who's got that irresistible urge to go somewhere else where it's not like this. Amen. Amen. And some of the preachers that pastor these charismatic churches were one time dynamic holiness preachers. Dynamic, powerful holiness preachers, anointed of the Holy Ghost. Now they are as sold out as they can be. Stand with me. Don't offer you a whole lot, do I, young people? Don't offer you a whole lot. But when you see one of your friends walk away from this, don't take it personal. Because they're only doing what their nature in this last day is drawing them to do. Stay with those that you see on this altar. Don't let some terror come in and tell you it's all right to commit fornication and adultery and tell you you can still have the Holy Ghost. That's a lie from the pits of hell. Gotta stop somewhere, don't I? I'm stopped. Come back next Thursday. I do have a chart, but I keep looking at this lovely wood, and I hate to put something in it. So I may have to figure out a way, maybe Brother Rick can figure out a way that I can stretch a 14-foot canvas and hold it sort of somehow. Two stands on the end, one in the middle, and a rod through it, maybe. About yay high. Somebody ought to come up with something. Right? But you want more of this before you get to that easy stuff, don't you? Because that's all about the beast and the Antichrist. Right now, this is about church and you and your family. About why you can't keep your sister in church. You ought to thank God every day that you have the proof that you are a children of God and not a child of the devil. Amen? Amen. Same. This altar is open. Amen.